Blog Talk Radio.
T-Max, you hear me?
I'm here. What's going on?
Yeah, man, I had a little technical difficulty going on. I had it logged on a different way because Blog Talk effing up as usual.
Okay, the main thing is, I mean, we bypassed it. We do what we do. We got our guest on the line yet?
Not yet. So what we're going to do, I'm going to hit her back, and I'm going to see if we can get the show on the road.
Okay, because I just told her call back in. Let me hit her. Message her again. Okay. I just told her call back in.
Okay, cool. So what we gonna do? This happens sometimes on live radio, ladies and gents.
Yeah, but one thing about it, we're the consummate professionals of this. Y'all know how we do. OTC cannot be stopped, even if we're blocked. We still keep making it rock. So we still going to make it do what we do. And like I said, King said we had a little bit of technical difficulties, but that ain't going to hold us back. We're going to make it happen.
Absolutely. So we're going to wait for her to call in. And in the meantime, I'm going to try to get the intro going. And I'm just letting y'all know, people, that this part of the show ain't going to be shown. We're going to edit the hell out of this joint. Y'all ain't going to hear this part.
Yeah, look, we all create a little this behind-the-scenes stuff before we actually get the show on the road, and that's how we do it.
Yeah, this is the headaches that we deal with sometimes with technical difficulties and all that stuff, man. People don't understand what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, but like I said, we still going to make it work regardless, so I just sent it to her.
Showtime, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Y'all didn't hear this part of the show. We're going on to the intro, so let's go.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsta 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that sound. This should play upon the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that sound. Wiggling.
Yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the
cuff, babe. What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dallas, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw. And you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up,
y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. It's Chili Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday nights. West, y'all.
Alrighty. Off the Cuff Radio, episode 499. I am your host, King Eric, the media assassin, alongside T-Max with the facts.
What it do, y'all. Another fantastic Friday on that frequency of fresh. It is OTTF in the building. Shout out to our co-hosts in spirit, a lot of family and region. Chiller, we are sponsored by Core Financial, King Air Productions, Dive Itchy Clothing, Dirty Basement Radio, Buddy Boy Entertainment, and Jesse's Boutique. And we are live and direct, ready to cash your wreck. What it do? Great evening. Good evening to all of you. And we are so blessed to have you with us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And tell us about our guest for tonight, man. Thought I had to make sure everything was going okay with this.
Definitely. Well, this young lady right here, she is a visionary. She is of the utmost professional. She is all natural, and she is alluring with her aim and her ambition in the modeling game. She came, you know, we talked off there. She came to me talking about, you know, her goals and aspirations in terms of, you know, working in the music video field in terms of getting her name out there. And we were more than happy to have her on the show. And we can let the cat out of the bag now, too, because not only is this woman definitely a stunner of superstar status in videos, but she also made Hustler magazine in their latest issue. I believe it's coming out in June. She will clarify the actual release date once we actually have her on. But this woman is the magnificent Mahogany Beauty, hailing from Wisconsin. Let's give it up, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Miss Barbie Monroe. What it do, though?
Hey, how y'all doing? Thank y'all for having me. Can you guys hear me pretty good?
We can hear you. Yes, we can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. Thank y'all for having me. I'm very honored to be up on your show. So I'm a little nervous right now.
It's okay. You're at home. It's an honor to have you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Before I'm gonna let it be known here, guys. Now, in case God forbid, if Blog Talk acts up again, just in case this interview goes through the motions and don't get pressed, we're going to definitely have you back on for the remake, and everything's going to be smooth and flying colors. So now we're rolling the dice here, because we don't know what's going on with this Blog Talk thing, but you're welcome back.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Disclaimer, we just have thrown out a disclaimer just in case everything descends into madness. But, yeah, we're going to make it work. That's what we do. You know, radio guys, we always stay professional. But in case it does, you know, but we don't. That's why we got to make time of the essence to really get it going in terms of being expedient. Ms. Barbie,
put that disclaimer out there and let people know if you can't catch this one, damn it, you're going to catch the next one because she's going to be back, guaranteed.
Definitely. Look, Miss Mahogany. Definitely, Miss Barbie, the magnificent, you know, Mahogany one. It's an honor to have you with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, we got some time.
Well, I'm from Milwaukee, born and raised my whole life. I pretty much, you know, started out, I used to be a dancer from the ages of 18 to 25. So I stopped dancing at 25, and I've always modeled and stuff like that. That's something that I've always wanted to do, and I always wanted to, you know, get my name out here as an influencer and stuff like that and just break barriers from the norm. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that I always wanted to do, and I always wanted to, you know, be that sex symbol, that woman that men want and other women want to be, you know. And I want to just pretty much bring all natural beauty back on the map. Because don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with plastic surgery and stuff like that. But I just feel like it's women that is beautiful that haven't gotten any work done and stuff like that. But they don't get the same roses as someone who got a lot of work done and just a typical IG model body.
Right. I guess in terms of when we break down, because we got to go back to the essence of it in terms of when you started dancing, because obviously, you know, from the beginning of when it was. You know, obviously it was really, you know, this is before social media really comes into play. This is before, you know, the BBLs and all that stuff really become the play in terms of becoming the Vogue, especially what we're going to discuss later on in the show about, you know, your, you know, aspirations for being, you know, the next video vixen, you know, the next big name. So when you look at when you first started dancing, because there's a lot that we need to get cleared up on the show, which coming from someone who has been there, because we're going to, disclaimer, y'all, because this is going to get a little adult in some areas, so y'all might want to buckle up for where we may go with this. But one thing about it is, a lot of times, shout out to Ice Cube.
Hello?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you here? Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah, we can hear you.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, can you hear us?
Oh, I'm still here.
Okay, King, you there?
You there,
okay,
King?
Okay, thank you. Okay, he may have got chopped off for a minute, so, all right, this is where we wing it. So we're going to keep running with it. Okay, situation, like, because he'll be back momentarily, but like I was saying, you know, when we look at what was going on in the time, shout out to Ice Cube, of course, when he did Players Club back in 1998.
Yeah, there have been movies. I was 5 years old in 1998. I feel old. But
it's okay.
It's
all good.
My mama didn't let me watch that shit. I'm just saying. My mama did not let me watch that movie growing up. I didn't start watching the Players Club until I was grown.
Right, right.
You know, my mama didn't let me watch that shit growing up.
That's why we want to get to it now. Because when you did, right, because when you did see it, obviously you were a dancer. The thing about that movie was it was not only – because there have been a few movies that had to do, of course, with women stripping, but that was a movie that actually was the first that actually had to deal with it from a black perspective in terms of what goes on in strip clubs.
And,
and
it
and
was
when,
oh, so I'm talking about Players Club, right?
Behind it.
Yeah. See, I told you he'd make it back on. So when you look at it, Barbie, from what was going on in that movie and when you ultimately decided to dance, because like I said, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to get very adult here at certain levels because we're going to touch on a lot of things. When you look at what was going on in terms of the, how a lot of those women got into it, how did that parallel with your motivations for wanting to do it and what did you find in it in terms of what people may not know about in terms of what goes on with that business?
Well, like, honestly, the when it comes to the movie, The Players Club, a lot of people, don't get me wrong, that movie is very entertaining, classic.
Right.
But
okay,
a lot of people miss the message behind The Players Club. Like, she was a single mom. She was putting herself through school, and she used that as a stepping stone to get through school. She used that as a stepping stone. And don't get me wrong, like in a strip club, in every town USA, it is a woman out there like a Diamond or a Ronnie or a Ebony. Like, you see those women in the club in real life, and you see them stories in those characters. But the only thing that actually I got out of the movie is the motivation that she used that as a stepping stone. She didn't make a career of it. It wasn't it wasn't something that she was proud of, but she had to do what she had to do to move forward.
Right.
And I can admire that aspect. And, you know, and there's a lot of things that a lot of harsh read. Don't get me wrong. The strip club, the strip game is not all sunshine and rainbows. Granted, you make money, but it, like, honestly, I feel like the Players Club actually showed an accurate reality of how the life in a strip club can be. You know, you have, not all of us is sitting up and have daddy issues or high school dropouts or drugged up, coked up. Like, not all of us is that. Like, all of us is trying to find a like some of us dancers use dancing as a stepping stone for a better life. If it's not
right.
for, you know, their education, their kids, or maybe just to get their toe in the industry. So,
right.
you know, the message of that movie, I actually seen pretty much, I've seen that in real life. You know, me, I started dancing in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the year I started dancing. And honestly, the whole, back then, it was just the beginning of the whole BBLs and stuff like that, because, you know, you had Nikki just coming out and, you know, she, you know, was that girl back then. And whatever.
Right, right.
So, you know, you seen girls getting their butts done. And I was pretty much around a lot of girls. They would take risky measures, and they will go to a back alley to a quack and get, like, fix-a-flat. And I've known girls personally who have got sick and almost died.
Yeah.
From them botched plastic surgeries. Because it was always, in me, I wasn't as thick as I am now when I started out. I was very skinny. So I have had girls come up to me like, oh, or guys come up to me like, oh, if you get your butt done, you will make 10 times more money. Or if you do this, or if you do that. And I'm like, I'm glad that I didn't go through with that, because I would have been pretty much with a little bit as thick as I got now, I would have had this unnecessary big ass. And my butt is
right.
already naturally big, you know. And
right.
So it was the beginning
Go ahead,
of that
go ahead,
whole
yeah.
craze, like back in 2011.
Yeah.
And you know me, I was just an 18-year-old girl stepping on the scene. And stuff like that. And I was actually grateful to have good role models and, you know, women who have danced in the industry, old school women that sat up there and basically took me under their wing and taught me the jewels of the game and stuff like that.
Definitely.
So I really appreciated that.
Yeah. While it's on my mind, because we want to really touch deeper, Barbie, into what you were saying, because about the surgeries and everything about the back alley. I mean, for those who know the history in terms of what's been going on, and even recently, of course, there was an Indianapolis woman. She went to the Dominican Republic, and she died after having a procedure. And then another black woman, she died in Tijuana, Mexico, because what's going on. Of course, we had the situation years ago where Pebble's a model. She ended up going to prison for some years.
I was just about to bring her up.
yeah. Because of the situation that happened with her being, you know, essentially referring people to somebody. I think one of those girls died that she referred. And this is something where we really have to have a frank discussion about it, y'all, because as you said, Barbie, this is a situation where back in the day we started seeing what would become that vogue in terms of getting the plastic surgeries. Now, what even is more dangerous with that is that to get a plastic surgery, shout out to Nip Tuck, Julian McMahon, and Dylan Walsh, of course, who used to be on FX. Great show for those who haven't watched it. Catch it on Hulu or on demand if you can. All seven seasons were absolutely twistedly tremendous, but I learned a lot watching that about plastic surgery. And the first thing I learned in that lesson, y'all, plastic surgery is not cheap.
No, it is not. It's very expensive, and honestly, any medical procedure that's cosmetic is expensive. But it is now it is also non-surgical alternatives that's a lot more affordable and I believe a lot more safer.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to also work out to keep that up.
Right.
But some people don't want to work out. They just want a quick fix. And depend on what you're willing to pay for that quick fix, it can either be expensive or it can cost you your life.
Yeah, absolutely. when you look at it from the back in the days, of course, we had the video girls, like, of course, Buffy the Body, Corinne Steffens, you know, of course, a.k.a. Superhead, Gloria Velez. You know, these
Superhead
were just
was
a
Corinne
few.
Steffens, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, yeah. These were some of the women who were, like, considered, like, the it girls during that time, you know, in terms of
yeah.
when videos were really, like, when videos were, like, you know, my brother and I, King, we always talk all the time about those old days in terms of, like, when videos, like, when you had a guy like, you know, Spike Jones or Little X, you know, or any of those guys doing it.
Hype
know,
Williams.
This was like a big – Hype Williams, thank you, thank you.
Yeah,
Hype
he's
Williams
another
well.
One.
Yeah, this was like a big deal, like when you had these guys – because King does a lot – because King does video production as well, and these are some of the people that he studied in terms of what he did in terms of making his art great. So
yeah.
when you see how these productions were in terms of the emphasis – because the videos back in the day really seemed to have a theme. Even if it was a party, there was an art to it in terms of the direction of it. And it was an emphasis on making sure that all the aesthetics of it that fitted in terms of the look, the atmosphere, the vibe, how it was shot, filters, lighting, everything that is of the utmost imperative in producing, you know, a pyrotechnic production was on point. But then something changed along the way. There was started to be where there was less of an embracing of the natural beauty, and then, like you said, this is where all the cosmetic nuttiness started coming in.
Yeah.
What was your reaction, Barbie? Yeah, and the standards of beauty. The standards. Of,
I said
like
media,
said, yeah,
started,
media
started. Media started changing too, and they started focusing on. Yeah, the media played a heavy role because then you start seeing more so. Black girls with more blonde wigs. You start seeing more so breast enhancement, butt injection. I mean, that's always been around. But we started
seeing it more
and more within the 2010s and so on. Within the new decade up to this point now.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Go ahead, please.
But, yeah, honestly, it has been, I feel like in the 2010s, that's when you started to see that. Like you started to see that more. You started to see the obnoxious surgery and stuff like that. You start to see a lot of that more. Like you really start to see that. And not even just that, it's just the fact that even when I started out dancing, I kind of felt, I felt very insecure. Just me being a skinny girl, you know, in more of an urban club, like in more of the black clubs, I felt like very insecure. And I have had a lot of people, you know, sit up there and tell me like, oh, if you get this and this done or get your butt done or put on a little more pounds, you will make a lot of money. But when I went to the clubs that cater more so to the white crowd, I was celebrated more over there. But when I put on a couple of more pounds, then they was like, oh, no, you're getting a little too fat. You got to – and I wasn't – I'm not a big girl at all.
No,
like,
you're not.
I am not a big girl. Huh?
And I said, no, you're not. We've seen the pictures.
Right. I'm not a big girl at all. I just got a little thick, have thick thighs and stuff like that. But even in some of the white clubs, they like, no, you a little too big. You need to lose a little weight. And I'm like, well, where the hell do I fit in? So that's the reason why I also started feature entertaining, where I was pretty much competing in competitions and getting titles, and I ended up getting with an agency where they will give a club owner will contact to book me for a weekend, and then they will give them the price that I will be making a weekend. And I got to the point to where the clubs was paying me instead of me paying them.
Yeah.
And I was in high demand.
Yeah, in terms of the tip,
I was in very high demand.
Yeah,
and it's just like I kind of second guessed my, and that business will really make you second guess yourself. It really will.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
To see if you're good enough, to see if you're, if they, like some of these club owners, they always sit up there and try to find something to pick you apart.
Or fuss you.
No different than Hollywood.
First. Yeah.
Huh?
I said, or fuck you, whichever comes first. We know the casting couch.
Yeah, whichever comes
bit,
first.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And honestly, I had a lot of fun, and I had all of my adventures, and I made most of my best friends I have made dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my friends that are my A1s, my road dogs, and going to be my best friends for the rest of my life, I have met when I was a dancer.
Mm.
And it was some good times, don't get me wrong. I do miss the money, but I'm using that as a stepping stone because I want to get off into the industry. I want to get off more into Hollywood and let Hollywood know who I am. Because we haven't had, like, we need a sex symbol, and that's something that I want to be. And that's my goal. I'm trying to build generational wealth for my family.
Right. And when you look at it, Barbie, yeah, go ahead. No, please, go ahead.
No, I can sit up there, like even with me being in Hustler magazine, if I can sit up there and utilize that, take that and run with it, just being in the big three, I don't care if it was an ad. I made it up in that magazine. That's what I can say. I made it in there. Because, you know, and I was very honored to work with them, to work with the people at Hustler. Like, I was very honored, and I will cherish that.
Tell us about that process.
I will cherish
you,
that.
How you got, tell us about how that process came about in terms of you getting in, because for what she's talking about, y'all, with the big three, that's Playboy, Hustler, and Penthouse. And those are like you know, so that's like, those aren't the only adult magazines out there, but when a celebrity stature, you know, you get in one of those three. And, of course, shout out to Black Tail, you know, Black Beauties and all the other, you know, Club Magazine and all those, you know, I mean, look, keeping it real, King and myself, we're two heterosexual dudes that came up, and that was our rite of passage, watching the movies and seeing the magazines. So we know all of them.
Yeah, you guys should definitely get your copy. It's out. It's on newsstands. You guys should get your copy. You'll see me in there.
Word. So, I mean, so what's the submission process? Because there's a lot we got to backtrack on, but we want to stay current in the conversation because we can go back on some of the stuff we talked about earlier, like what goes on in the clubs in terms of tip outs, everything else, and the money. But let's go from there, Barbie. Yes. I mean, what was the submission process like in terms of how it went about you getting in there? Take us through that.
Okay, this is how the submission. I ended up taking some photos. Shout out to my photographer, John Lathrop, Fit Images. So shout out to
Johnny
him.
Boy,
he actually did some great work.
Okay.
I ended up, I was just pretty much Googling one day and just messing around. I was thinking like, hey, what can I do? Because I Googled Hustler model submissions. And then and then it was a Twitter page, and it had the for the Beaver Hunt submission because they was currently looking for that. And there's like, you know, submit your photos to, you know, Beaver Hunt LFP, you know, Larry Flint Productions. And,
rest in peace, Larry Flint. Yes.
I end up submitting my photos, and I was like, you know, fingers crossed. If I get in, I get in. If I don't, I don't. You know, it's not meant to be. And then I had ended up getting a email back from Tex Hagen. Shout out to him. He worked for Hustler and stuff like that. And he seen my photos and he liked them. So I ended up filling out a form and some information. He had to get my photographer's information and stuff like that. So that's how it pretty much came to be. And I only had to wait a few months. I couldn't really too much discuss much until the magazine was released. You know,
right.
And I didn't, like, honestly, when it comes to my endeavors and my projects and stuff like that, I don't want to put it out there too soon. I want to wait until something is released, you know.
Understood.
So that's how I ended up just pretty much messing around and Googling and stuff like that. And I was just seeing, like, hey, like, what, how, like, do I have a, you know, do I have what it takes kind of thing? Like, let me give it a try. And sure enough, I'm a candidate for the Beaver Hunt, contest. So, and also the anniversary issue will be out July 5th. So that is where people can actually vote for me or vote for any other girl to be Beaver of the Year.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that as well. Because I'm like, if I make it, I've already, you know, in the Beaver Hunt section, but me being Beaver of the Year, that would be a really big deal. And I would be grateful. And honestly, I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be featured in Hustler.
Definitely. Now, one thing about it, Barbie, when
that's
you
a
look
big
at
look.
It is. It's a great look. And when we talk about elements of the entertainment industry in the adult capacity, this is a lot of stuff that goes on. Of course, I've spent a few nights in the strip clubs. You know, actually, I'm lying. It wasn't a few. It's a lot. So I've seen a lot of stuff behind the scenes in terms of, you know, the tip outs, in terms of paying the house, you know, how the girls have their shifts in terms of, you know, the patrons that come in, some are respectful, some are not as much. Private dances that were a little bit more personal. I'm not saying no names in terms of the places I was at and where it all happened and who was involved. There's a lot that goes on. And in terms of the money, we also can draw parallels between this and the adult film industry, of course. That's not what you're shooting for, so we want to get that out of the way right now. This is not what you're going for with the videos, so we want to make that clear to our audience. Right, we want to clear that out right there, so we get
clear
that out of the way. Right, but we do see the parallels in terms of how a lot of women come into the dancing game or even into the adult film industry game and think that is there's a lot of money involved in it in terms of it. I'm going to be a little long-winded here.
It can
because
be.
I want to make sure. Right. And this is going to be a little bit long-winded because, and come in on it on any time, either one of y'all, because we want to make sure that we get all of this, we want to articulate all of these points in detail so everybody really has an understanding. Because obviously when we're dealing with dancing, there's always been a stigma in terms of black women in terms of how they're built versus white women. Now, there's by no means knocking white women, and we love our black women. It's just when you're dealing with certain clientele and audiences, they're going to have different preferences, much like the adult film industry. One of my very best friends who shall remain nameless, you know, who's a retired former porn star, this was no little shit she was doing. She did stuff with Reality Kings, Evasive Angels, all of that. But we would talk about how the money is, which for some is pretty good, depending where you go, depending on the studios you get with. But I wanted to say that the biggest misnomer is that everybody thinks that getting in the game, everybody thinks that it's a lot of money, like you just make this buku cash shaking your ass or whatever. And that's not always the case. Barbie, you dance. you know, please tell us what really goes on in terms of how the money is determined, in terms of what you make, in terms of the clubs you're at, and how this game really, really, really works.
All right. I'm not going to expose too much, but it can be, like, you can make some really good money in this industry.
Right.
But
right.
The thing is, like, you're going to have your good nights and you're going to have your bad nights.
Right.
You're going to have nights where you make good money. It'll be nights when the club is slow. But it also depends on where you go. If you looking to make some real money, you have to go travel. You have to travel.
Right.
Because sticking in one place, that gets old. That eventually gets old. Like, you want to be fresh. You want to keep a fresh face in the business. You don't want to necessarily, even though that's not even part of my life anymore, but I've done it before, but it's times when you will have your good nights and you will have your bad nights. Like,
right.
If you're willing to handle that, like, I'm not saying, you know, it's not the glamorous job in the world, but you're not going to just, I want to clarify that as well. Like, you're not going to just, as long as you have a good personality and as long as you're good with people, then you don't have to, you can make money in this business, but use it to put it away.
Right.
Get in
this
business, make your money, stack your money, get out. Because you can also end up in this business, you can also end up, next thing you know, you're 45 years old in the business.
Yeah, and we got to touch on this, too, because no matter the color of the woman, we love all women here at Off the Cuff Radio, and we want all women to be protected in this game.
That loves all women.
Yes, yes, yes. And one thing about it we got to touch on. Yeah. But we want to touch on this, too, because in Players Club, Diamond also had to deal with that dude that was stalking her. And this is something that is very real because, once again, we were telling y'all at the beginning this is going to go a few places. One thing about when you're dealing with that industry is that King and myself, we know what is entertainment and we know where that line is drawn. We come from a very good family, you know, shout out, you know, to his parents, shout out to mine. We were raised with to have that respect, you know, for women. So we're not going to be one of those guys that's just like all up in, you know, a woman grill, be like, you know, what's up after the show or follow you home. We're not going to do that. But not everybody has that sense of decorum or sense of nuance to understand it's about selling a fantasy, you know. And we've seen tragic situations where some women were stalked and killed even. You know, I mean, keeping it real, we know about a lot of girls that do a lot of stuff in terms of to make that little extra cash. Y'all know that know. So when you see a lot of the things out there in terms of, because we know obviously you were propositioned for some things, because that's just part of the game. How were you able to pretty much avoid all of that in terms of understanding? Because more than anything, Barbie, you had a plan, you know, and that's something some girls get into that they don't always have. And like you said, they get stuck. They get stuck in it. But also, too, they try to go for that extra mile, you know, doing a little bit more than they get more than what they bargain for. When you think about that in terms of the game, how do women really have to go about protecting themselves in terms of maintaining their safety? In terms of understanding that not every man is going to be a respectful patron and how not to get involved with sugar daddies and all that, this, that, and the other.
So how we pretty much do this is we do not leave at the same time the customers do. Like, we do not leave the same time they do. Like, when
Understood.
We are when we are in a club and the club is closing, everybody mm-hmm. has to be cleared out before we can even leave. And then we also have bouncers. And we also have bouncers, and we also, you know. But it's also, or, you know, a lot of dancers take different routes home. They don't take the route home every night and stuff like that.
Right.
Or they always, you know, have somebody with them, you know.
Right.
Nobody is, before we leave out, every customer in the club has to be out before we could go.
Right.
Because
Understood.
It's for safety
Understood.
Reasons. And in some clubs, I've worked at clubs where we all left out at the same time after the customers left. The DJ, the bouncers, we all left out at the same time.
Right. I mean, even with the DJ, they got to be safe because, I mean, I've seen I've heard of situations where the DJ got robbed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
it could be ruggish. That's the reason why I'm like me. I was always, when I was a dancer, I was always very picky about the clubs I worked at. I never really did a rowdy crowd, a crowd that was
Understood.
Too rowdy. Like, I couldn't, especially the clubs that's in the hood, you know, like in the hood. I never really too much messed around with those clubs. Because even when I had to do those clubs, if I performed or whatever, I felt very uncomfortable. And I did my performance and I left. And I was like, don't ever invite me back here again. I don't care how
ooh,
good the money
ooh.
Is. And your crowd is too rowdy for me.
Right. But that's safety, though.
Yeah.
But that's safety.
I'm like, and
because...
then it was times when I was featuring, I had my own security. Like, when I was a feature, I had my own security. Because I'm like, I've performed at clubs where, you know, they security wasn't about shit. Too busy drinking up shit or trying to find one of the dancers they can sleep with. And it's like, you're not here to do that. You're here to do a job. So it's some clubs where I have to have my own security.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah,
I want to go ahead and say this here because I have a feeling that this is going to be a great interview. And what I want to do, I want to be able to save this content and so that we can post it everywhere. So what I'm going to do, y'all, is I'm going to shorten the interview up for right now, and we could probably rebook it for either Monday or Tuesday if that's fine with Barb, because we know we're going to get some fire, and, you know, we want to be able to keep that fire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That actually
because I don't want us to have the real bomb interview and then come to find out we can't save it or we can't even replay it. Nah, we can't cheapen
right.
the public. We can't cheapen the culture like that. So what we're going to do, we're going to shut this one up tonight. And we're going to reschedule it for probably either Monday or Tuesday. All you got to do is just call this line. Everything is going to be fixed. And we're going to have the dynamite interview.
Okay. I appreciate that, King. King, and I forgot your name. I'm so sorry. I'm terrible with names.
T-Max, it's okay.
Nobody's going to listen to this part here.
I appreciate that, King and T-Max. I really do.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. I could definitely do like Monday or Tuesday.
Oh, beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because like he said, because of what the technical difficulties we had at the beginning, we want to ensure that when we get you back on, because we had a great flow. We're going to have to.
It was a really good-ass interview. Like, I'm
absolutely.
Having fun.
Yeah, we don't want no hustle and flow situation. We don't want no hustle and flow situation where... Yeah, I was going to say, we don't want no hustle and flow situation where we recorded Whoop That Trick and they can't even hear it.
Yeah. Pretty much that was suck. Like, how that, we record Whoop That Trick and can't hear it.
And the mic is distorted.
Wasn't that Whoop That Trick Hard Out Here for a Pimp?
No, it was Hard Out Here for a Pimp.
Hello?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
he was going out here for a pimp.
That's not right.
That nigga put his whole mind, body, and soul in that joint, and he can't even hear it.
Yeah. He was mad.
That shit was loud, man.
Too.
He about the cornbread short cookie scap. He about the cornbread cookie scap because that track didn't go out there.
He had me die laughing. We didn't push that shit out.
He about the cornbread
out.
Scap.
Yeah, but yeah, man. But we definitely,
I wasn't even thinking. I forgot all about that movie. I forgot all about that movie.
Shoot.
Yeah, but we definitely got to keep it slow, man.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like, yo, I was sitting back when I was trying to get the emails and stuff, because I email Blog Talk about the issue. I'm like, yo, she's bringing a great flow. She's bringing great energy, great stories. They can't fuck this up and not have us post this. They got to get it together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really need to.
So that's never what we're going to do. I'm going to hit you up either whatever's good for you, Monday or Tuesday. You just call that same number, and everything is going to
okay.
be guaranteed in motion.
Definitely.
All right.
We can't wait to have you
can
back
I do,
on.
Can I do like a, one of those promo things?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and redo the flyer and just send that to you.
Okay. All right.
All right.
We can definitely do that. You guys follow me on Instagram. Okay. Well, I can do all of that on Monday or Tuesday.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Okay. Thank you guys so much. Y'all have a good night.
You too.
You too.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right. Good night.
Good night.
Definitely.